silence of the Lamb. We read about the silence of the Lamb there in verse 9 of Luke chapter 23. Then he, that is Herod, questioned with him, the Lord Jesus, in many words, but he answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. Pilate wanted to wash his hands of the whole affair involving this man, Jesus of Nazareth. Upon being told that he had been teaching throughout Jewry, beginning from Galilee to Jerusalem, hearing the name Galilee, he thought he could give his problem then, his problem over to Herod. Galilee was Herod's jurisdiction. It so happened that Herod was in Jerusalem at that time, verse 7. And so sending the dear Savior to Herod, the Lord began his third trek through the streets of Jerusalem. First, he had been led from Gethsemane's garden to the house of Annas. Then from there, he was conducted through the streets of Jerusalem, that city that he had once wept over and prayed over. From the hall of Caiaphas to the judgment hall of Pilate. And now, Pilate sends him to the palace of Herod. He is led this third time by the angry multitude, by the priests, through the same streets to the palace of Herod Antipas. And there, that lonely figure, the Lord Jesus Christ, would stand to be examined for a fourth time. The Lord had stood before Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, and now Herod. They had all examined him. We might say, Annas, what is your verdict? Not guilty. Caiaphas, what is your verdict? Not guilty. Pilate, what is your verdict? I find no fault in him. Not guilty. Herod, what is your verdict? Not guilty. Now, when he stood there in Pilate's and Herod's palace, that man with the blood of John the Baptist on his hands questioned with him in many words, but he answered him not a word. And so there is the one of whom the Baptist spoke. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that same Lamb of God, questioned by many words by Herod, the Lamb answered not a word. There you have the silence of the Lamb. And there we see the silence of the Lamb. So let us now consider this meeting between the Lord Jesus and Herod Antipas. I want to notice first of all the curiosity of Herod. This man Herod was the one who took the life of the Lord's forerunner, John the Baptist, beheaded him. He was the son of Herod the Great, the same Herod who had ordered the slaughter of little children at Bethlehem in the hope of slaying the Christ child. And you think of the Herods that carry out similar dastardly atrocities today in the abortion clinics throughout the world. They're all Herods. Slaughter of innocent little children. And now the Lord is before the son of a murderer, who is a murderer himself. He slew John the Baptist. And yet, we come now to read something that is quite remarkable. Herod, an evil, wicked individual, a murderer. And yet we see here his delight. We see the delight of Herod. What was it that delighted him? When the Lord Jesus appeared unto the disciples in the upper room, you recall, we're told, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That was on resurrection evening. They were glad to see the Lord because they had their doors shut for fear of the Jews. Now we read in verse 8 of Luke 23. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. So the Lord's disciples were glad to see the Lord. Now, lo and behold, Herod, we are told, was exceeding glad when he saw the Lord. The disciples and Herod were glad to see the Lord, but for very different reasons. The disciples were glad to see the Lord, as we mentioned. They had the door shut in that upper room for fear of the Jews. They were glad to see the Lord because when the Lord came into that upper room, first thing he said was, "Peace be unto you." And he repeated those words, "Peace be unto you." They were exceeding glad because they were fearful of the Jews. And they were glad to see the Lord because the Lord brought peace to their troubled hearts. But why was Herod glad to see the Lord? I'll tell you why. For no other reason than idle curiosity. That's why he was glad to see the Lord. He had heard so much about the Jesus, the King of the Jews, that he sought nothing more than merely to see him. That's all. There's his curiosity. In the eyes of Herod, the Lord was nothing more than a famous personality. I say that in the eyes of Herod. That's how Herod viewed the Lord Jesus, as a famous personality. He had been told many things about the Lord, and he delighted to see him for that reason, out of curiosity, to see this man of whom so many had spoken. No. Not because he had sought forgiveness for the murder of John the Baptist. Not because he wanted the peace of the Lord that he had given to the disciples. Not. None of those things. It was simply curious about meeting the stranger of Galilee, whom he had heard so much about, and that was all. There was nothing more to it than just simply seeing this person that so many have spoken to him about. You know, there are many like Herod today. Yes, they have heard many things of him, but that's as far as it has gone for them. They sit in churches up in the, down the length and breadth of our land where the gospel is faithfully preached, and every week they hear many things about the Lord Jesus, but that's as far as it has gone with them. Maybe we're speaking to someone tonight, and that has been the story of your life. You've heard many things about Christ, but you're still unsaved. Still without a Savior. Still without hope for eternity. Even though you've heard many things about Christ. So it was with Herod. Here you have his delight. He delighted in the fact that the Lord Jesus was before him, the person he had heard about, and he was glad to see him. As I said, for no other reason than he was curious to meet the Lord. That was all. He saw the Lord as a famous personality. As well as his delight, we notice his desire. He had a great desire to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. Well, we might ask, who had been telling Herod about the Lord Jesus? Who had been telling Herod many things about the Savior? Let me suggest to you one person who had the ear of Herod, and quite possibly he was the one who had told Herod many things about Christ. Turn, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. There we read in Luke chapter 8 the opening verses. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, mark this, verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Joanna was married to a man called Cusa. And lo and behold, Cusa served Herod. He was Herod's steward. Is it possible that Cusa was the one who had told Herod these many things about the Lord Jesus? And when you think of it, if Cusa was the one, his steward was the one who had told Herod many things about Christ, he must have given a good report. He must have spoken well of the Lord Jesus, because we read He, Herod, was desirous to see him of a long season. That means that Herod was left without excuse. He had been witnessed to by his steward, Cusa. And now he had the Lord standing before him. And he questioned with him in many words. What more did Herod need? What more could he have asked for? He had been witnessed to about the Lord. He now had the Lord standing before him, only a short distance away from him. He could not have asked for anything more. He could have had his life changed and transformed there in that instant. And oh, when you think of Cusa, if he happened to be the one, the steward of Herod, the one who told Herod many things about Christ, then we do thank the Lord for the many Cusas there are today who in their places of employment, in their office, or in their factory, they witness to others about the Lord. And they bear a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell their workmate, they tell their fellow worker in the office about the Lord. We thank God for the Cusas of today. And should a soul turn a deaf ear to the witness that they receive from their friend at work or from a member of the family, should they turn a deaf ear to what has been told them about the Lord Jesus, even as Herod was told, and they turn a deaf ear, they'll hear those words of witness in a lost eternity. It'll all come back to them. They'll hear every word wherein the place is where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. The worm is the memory. Doesn't die. We know how the rich man was plunged down into hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. He remembered. He had his brethren at home. He remembered them. And wanted Lazarus to go and speak to them. To witness to them, if you like. It's too late. So as well as his delight and his desire, we notice something else about this Herod. We notice here that he spoke about a display. Remember what we said a few minutes ago? That Herod looked upon Christ as nothing more than a famous personality. That's how he viewed him. And we've seen how he viewed Christ. Verse 8. Herod looked upon him, upon Christ, as some kind of showman. Of course, we know the Savior was far from that. He looked upon the Lord Jesus as some kind of showman, yet as an entertainer. Because look at what he says in verse 8. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. That's what he had hoped for. That was one of the reasons why he delighted in seeing the Lord Jesus and had him standing there before him. He had hoped that he had seen some miracle done by him. See, he didn't know who Christ was at all. Yeah, the Lord was the miracle worker, but he wrought great miracles for those who were in need. The halt, the lame, the sick, the dying, and even the dead. And this is what Herod was hoping for. He simply wanted to be entertained. He was hoping the Lord would work a miracle there in his palace. That Herod could say, I saw it with my own eyes. He just wanted to be entertained. Tell you something. That brings before my mind those so-called healers. The healers so-called. They hire a stadium. And they have a stage. And they get people up on the stage. And they claim to have healing powers. But they don't have any healing powers. But they get the people up onto the stage. And the stadium's filled. Thousands of people. Why are the thousands of people there? To be entertained. That's all. Just to see what takes place up there on the stage. To behold the so-called healing powers of individuals. No, doesn't work that way. That's not who the Lord is. That is not who the Lord Jesus is. The Lord wasn't for working any miracles before the eyes of Pilate, or sorry, before the eyes of Herod. Often when healing an individual, mark this, often when healing an individual, the Lord performed the miracle in private. Turn over to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. What did the Lord do? And he took him aside from the multitude. And put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. He took him from the multitude. Christ was no entertainer, as Herod believed that he was. Look again at Matthew in chapter 14. And there we see in Matthew 14 the complete opposite to what the so-called healers do today. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Sent the multitudes away. Could you see the likes of Benny Hinn sending the multitudes away out of the stadiums that he rents? And men like him? No! He wants the multitudes. And the multitudes are there to be entertained. Such was Herod. So I considered the curiosity of Herod. Next, we notice the challenge from Herod. And the Lord would not perform any miracles. It wasn't for entertaining. Herod then decides to question with him in many words. Here we see then, first of all, the speech of Herod. Question him in many words. Of course, the Savior was well used to others questioning him. Pharisees never left the Lord alone. They were with him everywhere. Even as he walked through the fields with the disciples and they plucked the ears of the corn, Pharisees were there. Questioning. Ever questioning. Not that they wanted to know anything or they wanted to learn anything or be taught anything. No. All they wanted was to try and trip the Lord up. That's all. The purpose was always to try and trip him up in his speech. Mark 12, verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. That was the business they were about. To catch him in his words. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies which had feigned themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. To take hold of his words. That's all they were interested in. They would come with their questions. And we see Herod, and he's at the same game, as it were. He questioned him with many words. Obviously, he put many questions to the Lord. But to what purpose? See, it's Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. Spurgeon once said, fools can ask more questions in 10 minutes than wise men are able to answer in 50 years. Fools can ask more questions in 10 minutes than wise men can answer in 50 years. Pharisees were only fools. They weren't asking questions to learn anything. As we noted, they just wanted to take hold of the Savior's words. Herod is at the same game. And how many are like Herod? They ask questions and questions and questions. But there's one question they never ask. What must I do to be saved? They never ask the question, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And in my years in the ministry, I've met people like that. They've always got questions. But never the questions you want to hear them ask. They always have questions on religion. Some pet question. And they'll ask every minister that comes to the church, they'll ask the same question. But never ask, what must I do to be saved? So we notice then the speech of Herod. We notice then the subjects for Herod. Now you look at those words of verse 9, and he questioned with him in many words. You say, where are the subjects? Well, they're not there. We're not told the questions that Herod asked the Lord. They're not there. They're not recorded. And evidently the Holy Spirit didn't think they were worth recording. Simple as that. They were just empty words. That tells me that they must not have been worth recording. Neither were they worth answering. He answered him nothing. Because we read those words, but he answered him nothing. There you have the silence of the Lamb. Herod obviously didn't say anything that deserved a response. Simple as that. Just like those who have plenty to ask about religious matters, but not anything about how they might get right with God, or about heaven, or seeking pardon from their sin. Never ask anything like that. Yes, we're told Herod questioned with him in many words. That's right. The Spirit of God didn't record any of the questions. But you notice how the Spirit of God did record that meeting. He questioned with him in many words. That's all it was. Words. Empty words. No substance. Nothing in them. Just empty words. And he answered him nothing. Because he had nothing to say. As well as the speech of Herod, the subjects from Herod, they have the silence of Herod. Silence of Christ. No doubt, when Herod questioned someone, being King Herod, whenever he questioned anyone, he expected an answer. He expected the person he questioned to give an answer, but on this occasion, regarding the one who stood before him, after listening to his many words, he answered him nothing. The one who was questioning, or who was being questioned, he knew the heart of Herod. He knew that he wasn't interested in anything substantial or anything spiritual. It's only multiplying words. He had already indicated he would like to see a miracle. The Lord knew the heart of Herod. So it was when the Pharisees came and tried to catch the Lord out in his words. The Lord knew their hearts. The Lord knew the business they were about. Because we're told in Mark 12:15, but he, knowing their hypocrisy, he knew they weren't sincere in anything they had asked him. So he knew Herod, what he was about, what was in his heart, so he answered him nothing. Now, had Herod been inquiring about finding peace with God, the Lord Jesus would have answered him in a heartbeat. Had he been asking the Lord how to prepare for eternity, the Lord would have given him an answer without a hesitation. Had he asked for forgiveness for the murder of John the Baptist, the Lord would have told him the answer immediately. but instead he answered him nothing, because he hadn't asked anything. He knew that Herod, as he had already referred to him as that old fox, he knew that Herod was just a cunning old fox rather than a lost sheep that had gone astray. So he answered him nothing. The silence of the lamb. Herod, the only man to whom the Lord refused to speak. Because all he had for the Lord were many words. Words, just words. Empty, useless words. He answered him nothing. We noted then the curiosity of Herod. The challenge from Herod, asking him in many words. Then you have the contempt of Herod. Now we see the true Herod. That day as he stood before the Lord, after the Lord's silence, after Herod had hoped to see him work a miracle, after the Herod had come before the Lord with his many word multiplicity of words, and instead the Lord stood there in silence, answered him nothing. The Lord knew that saying anything worthwhile to Herod would have been like casting his pearls before swine. And that's all that Herod was. And when the Lord answered him nothing, we see what happens. We see Herod and his derision. How he derided the Lord now. Now Herod begins to deride the dear Savior. In verse 11, Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught. Give heed to those words. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. With his men of war, he mocks the Lord. Mark the words. He set him at naught. You know what naught is? It's just a zero in a page. It doesn't mean anything. Naught means nothing. And that's what Christ was to Pilate. He was nothing. He was nothing. He was nothing. He and his men of war regarded the Lord Jesus Christ as nothing. He who was told many things about Christ, witnessed about the Lord, he set him at naught. The same one who had been witnessed to set Christ at naught. He who rejoiced in seeing Christ set him at naught. He who challenged Christ with many words set him at naught. Now he's no one, he's nobody to Pilate or to Herod. He's a nobody. That's what every Christ rejecter, sinner, is guilty of. When he'll not heed the word of God, and not accept Christ and turn a deaf ear to those who witness to them about the Lord and they reject Christ, they've set him at naught. He's nobody. He doesn't mean anything to them. Not an awful shame. We who sing, Christ is my everything, Christ is my all. Christ is my everything, both great and small. And yet to Christ rejecters, he's nothing. He's nobody. You can say of Herod, he had been witness to him. He had Christ before him. He had questioned, he had spoken to the Lord. You could say of Herod, he had been exalted to high heaven, given every opportunity to get right with God. And he set Christ at naught. He was brought down to hell. His derision. Next we notice the dress. Mockingly Herod put upon the Savior, we're told, a gorgeous robe. So they put it about his blessed person. And they mock him. For Herod, in that instant with those men of war with him, all restraints, if there ever were any, but all restraints have been taken off Herod. Now he takes a free hand to do whatever he wants to the dear Savior. You think of the Savior standing there all alone, and what they did to him. Reminds me of the Psalm. Psalm 2. There we read, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, Herod, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, cast aside all restraint. And that's what Herod did. He took counsel together with his men of war against the Lord. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what Herod did. All restraints were off. But there's more to the story. That verse 4 in the Psalm 2. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord will have them in derision. And let us say to all the Herods, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the sowing of Herod that day in his palace with Christ before him, Herod, and with blood on his hands, would reap a bitter, 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 bitter harvest. You have his derision and his dress, dressing the Savior in a gorgeous robe, making him a mock king. And then you have his dismissal. Verse 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Sent him away. talked about the door this morning. For Herod, the door was shut. Never read of Herod again. And any connection with Christ. Christ, one day, he is now on the throne. Only Herod will be standing before him this time. And when Christ stood before Herod, he answered him nothing. But when Herod stands before Christ, the Lamb will not be silent at that day. What will the Lamb say to Herod? He will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The Lamb will speak to Herod on that great day or night. But when Herod stood before, or when Christ stood before Herod, questioned him with many words, he answered him nothing. The silence of the Lamb. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bow before thee again in prayer. We think of this man, Herod, his wickedness. We think of the many who are like Herod today. Question after question after question, but never ask, "What must I do to be saved?" We've thought this evening of the silence of the Lamb. Lord, we know that for many sinners the Lord is not silent, for the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Lord, may someone tonight come to Christ and find rest and peace that only the Lord Jesus can give. Write thy word upon hearts tonight. Lord, be with us now, I pray. Keep thy hand upon us as a church family and individual families. Keep us healthy and safe and well. Be with us throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.